District Sentinel Radio here. This is your established back channel for nightly news. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We're reporting from the left in the Harper is a Good Girl studios in Washington, D.C.
That's right, folks. It's back. It's once again called the Harper is a Good Girl studios for the next 2 months.
We've got a two-month contract on the name here.
Yeah, an anonymous donor who I am definitely not related to wants the studio to be named after Harper.
I can't blame him, really. Or her.
Or her.
Or them.
Or them. But Harper is, in fact, a good girl. There is no dispute over that.
Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. Also, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel. We're nearing the end of the month, which means it's a great time for a Patreon pledge drive.
We did surpass the weed number. We did do that.
Yes, we did that over the weekend. Congrats to Audrey Bowler.
Yes, Audrey.
Maybe she doesn't want to be recognized as the weed. Yes, she does. She tweeted
at us.
So we're past that. We've blown past the weed number, actually. Contribute as little as $1 a month. That'd be cool. You could participate in our democracy of the garbage can.
Yeah.
But if you contribute $5 a month, you can actually listen to the Sentinel cast.
That's true. I think our next target is the devil number.
666.
Correct.
Yeah, I suppose it would be, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, really, though, I mean, maybe I'm aiming a little too high here, but I think the next number we should aim for is the sex and weed number, 69420, 69,420.
All right, so yeah, we've got the Satan number, then we have 911, and then we have the weed sex number. Okay, on our most recent Sentinel cast, we had Abby Wilkinson on from the UK talking about the what are they calling it? The battle for 10. What's the hashtag?
Oh, battle for number 10, I think.
The battle for number 10.
Referring to 10 Downing Street, of course, where the prime minister lives.
So you can listen to that interview and, be somewhat in tune with what's going on across the pond with the election coming up in about 10 days or so, a week, a little longer than a week.
June 8th, whatever.
Yeah, so like 9 days.
Yeah.
Become a subscriber, listen to the podcast, learn stuff. It's great. All right, it's Tuesday, May 30th, 2017. Here's that news.
The U.S. and South Korean militaries added to a missile defense system in South Korea without informing the country's president. That's what staffers of President Moon Jae-in claimed earlier today, prompting denials from the Pentagon. A Department of Defense spokesperson responded to this story, saying, quote, "We continue to work very closely with the Republic of Korea government, and we have been very transparent in all our actions throughout this process." President Moon, however, said that additional launchers were deployed on the THAAD system without his knowledge. He subsequently ordered an investigation into his own Ministry of Defense, which also denied keeping Moon in the dark. President Moon won South Korea's election earlier this month on a platform that included a more dovish approach to North Korea, one that also called for a parliamentary review of the THAAD system. The first parts of THAAD were deployed in March under Moon's predecessor, Park Geun-hye, a conservative who was removed from office the same month after being indicted on corruption charges. Apologies if I mispronounced the name, by the way. Though THAAD is aimed at countering a possible attack from North Korea, the Chinese government has protested its deployment, claiming it gives American intelligence gathering a boost. THAAD has also not deterred North Korean missile tests. Pyongyang conducted a test on Monday, claiming new precision-guided capabilities. In other foreign policy news, the White House is nearly done with a review of President Obama's rapprochement with Cuba. According to Reuters, the Trump administration is expected to roll back Obama's opening of trade and travel to Cuba. It will not, however, reverse the normalization of diplomatic ties, which were restored in 2015. The move might not make Trump many friends in Congress. 55 senators, including a shitload of Republicans, just introduced a bill that would further relax restrictions on Americans' travel to Cuba. Arizona Republican Jeff Flake, an original co-sponsor, said the following, quote, Lifting the ban on U.S. citizens traveling to Cuba can pave the way to meaningful change by increasing contact between Cubans and everyday Americans, and it is certain to have positive benefits for the island's burgeoning entrepreneurial and private sector.
My dang roommate went to Cuba, brought back a bunch of Cubans, but they're all molded because he put in a wet rag with the bag or something.
God, typical. We did have one. I think there's a photo of that somewhere.
Yeah, it's true. We had to cut them in half to cut the mold off. Trump's laptop ban won't extend to Europe yet. On Tuesday, officials with the Department of Homeland Security and the European Commission held a conference call, the outcome of which, according to sources who talked to Politico, no laptop ban on flights coming from Europe. Now, the EU was already assured 2 weeks ago that the ban wouldn't be extended to their continent, but over the weekend, Homeland Security Chief John Kelly said he might extend it after all, and that the threat is serious and he reserves the right to make that decision. But no ban is what one commission official told Politico after Tuesday's conference call. They added that U.S. officials accepted EU concerns about lithium batteries sitting in airplane cargo holds since they will no longer be allowed in cabin. Now, the current laptop ban is discriminatory as hell. It only applies to 8 Muslim-majority nations. It affects travelers who are already being put through the ringer by the Trump administration. Despite that, just a reminder, it was wholly supported by Democrats, or at least one prominent Democrat, Adam Schiff, a member he's talked about frequently in the hashtag resistance. After the laptop ban was implemented, he called it necessary and proportional to the threat. Speaking of the threat, we're not sure what it really is. It has something to do with ISIS wanting to make laptop bombs, which isn't all that surprising since we've had to deal with other terrorists trying to make shoe bombs or underwear bombs. But it's that intelligence which got the administration in trouble when apparently Trump told the Russians about it during a closed-door meeting and hinted or at least suggested it might have come from Israel.
Well, John Kelly, I'm not sure about that guy. I'm not sure. He seems a little like you, is all I'm saying. And here's why I say that. He was on Fox and Friends last week, and he was referring to the host Steve Doocy, a.k.a. Steve Doocy. He was saying, I was telling Steve on the way in here, if he knew what I knew about terrorism, he'd never leave the house in the morning.
Mm.
So this could all be an elaborate ploy to never leave the house.
Maybe that's... I've never felt a connection with John Kelly like I do right now. Sam, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be leaving the fucking house either.
Politics makes for odd bedfellows, what can we say? You can add powerful Republican Chuck Grassley to the list of people who don't seem very pleased with the Kushner family. The Senate Judiciary Committee chair wrote the Department of Homeland Security last week complaining about Kiao Wai, a Chinese company with ties to the Kushners. The immigration firm has been offering Chinese investors, quote, guaranteed permanent residence in the U.S. if they back a New Jersey real estate project spearheaded by Kushner companies. Entry would be granted through the EB-5 visa program, which offers residency in exchange for investments of $500,000 or more. In his letter to DHS, Grassley said that these guarantees violate immigration law and securities law, specifically rules prohibiting the misrepresentation of assets to investors. Grassley did not, however, say much about the Kushners in his letter. Jared's sister Nicole Meyer had appeared at Kiao Wai events earlier this month in an effort to court investors. The New York Times reported that Meyer said the New Jersey project, quote, means a lot to me and my family. Reporters were stopped from entering a similar event in Shanghai just days later. Meyer has since pulled out of personally appearing at Kiao Wai events in China, though Kushner Companies is still seeking to raise capital with help from the firm.
Tough couple of days for Kushner. All of this comes on top of, by the way, reports at the end of last week from the Washington Post that Kushner wanted to set up a secure back channel with the Russians. Apparently, U.S. intel picked up on the request after the Russian ambassador, Sergei Kislyak, took the request to the Kremlin. Now, wanting to set up a secret back channel with the Russians isn't necessarily bad or illegal. I mean, Obama set up a back channel with the Iranians at first when they were negotiating the nuclear deal. But still, not the best look for Jay Kush.
Do better, Jared. I will say this, though. I do think there is a substantive difference between a back channel with the Iranians and one with the Russians. I mean, we still don't really have normalized relations with the Iranians.
Yeah.
Whereas in the true definition of the word normalize, we have those relations with the Russians.
I'd say the only reason I'd compare them is that one of the reasons we didn't have normalized relations with the Iranians was due to intense political pressure from the right and how that would be regarded. Any overtures by a Democratic president to reach out to Iran versus today, where you have a similar political environment where any overtures to the Russian government, even though we have much more normalized relations, is politically toxic.
Well, still, I mean, Trump did campaign on, wouldn't it be nice if we got along with Russia? And
you mean it wasn't a secret plot of his the whole time?
Yeah, I don't know.
A high-profile resignation from the Trump administration, Mike Dubke has stepped down as the White House communications director. He had been on the job only 3 months. Look at that, Sean Spicer outlasted him. In the wake of the resignation and fresh off his dizzying trip abroad, Trump is back on his Twitter bullshit again, sending out that fire content. In just the last 9 hours, Trump has used his Twitter handle to go on the attack against Germany, decrying the U.S.'s major trade deficit with the country and claiming that Germany doesn't pay its fair share in NATO. He also complained about fake news, saying the Russians must be laughing at us, and he called for the elimination of the legislative filibuster to approve his healthcare and tax cut proposals. My bet is they just don't hire a new communications director, and eventually the entire White House press operation is going to be dissolved into Trump's Twitter account.
Remember the push to reduce mandatory minimums that caused the explosion of the U.S. prison population? Mm-hmm. Well, to paraphrase Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, it's fucked, buddy. Senate Majority Whip John Cornyn was behind the reform initiative during the last Congress, claiming he wanted the Republican Party to move from tough on crime to smart on crime. Now in the Trump era, he's pushing new mandatory minimums. According to The Hill, Cornyn is behind two pieces of legislation, one that would create a 5-year mandatory minimum for immigrants who re-enter after being deported. The other would enhance mandatory minimums for people who are convicted of attacking cops and judges. When pressed by The Hill about his support for prior reductions to mandatory minimums, Cornyn said the following, quote, "I'm not opposed to all mandatory minimums. For example, felons carrying guns. I like the 5-year mandatory minimum because it acts as a deterrent and saves lives. I could have sworn the only thing that could deter a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, who in turn becomes a bad guy with a gun the second he decides to commit a crime, which he was not. That is, he was not a bad guy with a gun when he first bought the gun. He only became a you get the picture.
It's so simple. I don't know why anybody else doesn't understand. And finally, the new NBC fall drama, Will Humanity Survive or Won't It?, continues. The president announced that he would unveil his decision to follow or to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. During Tuesday's White House press briefing, Sean Spicer revealed that Trump was meeting with his EPA chief, Scott Pruitt, about the climate deal.
It's fucked.
Yeah. Pruitt, the former attorney general of Oklahoma, previously sued the EPA over the Clean Power Plan. That plan is the linchpin by which the U.S. is to follow its commitments according to the Paris deal. So, as my colleague mentioned, if he's talking to Pruitt about it, it's looking grim, folks. So, someone get Bill McKibben in that room with a bunch of over-the-top compliments for Trump. Stat. Right now. We need it.
Imagine if we called preventing climate change. Imagine if we called it the Trump Initiative.
Yeah.
We just need to get those compliments into that mushy brain of his, which is ravaged by dementia.
Trump, you're so strong and wise. Let me tell you about increasing acidification of our oceans real quick. All right, we're coming to the end of the show here. Let's check out that listener rant line.
Hi, Sam. It's Brandon J_R. I was listening to the podcast this morning on Thursday, and Sam mentioned an event with Kane in the WWF. Actually, according to the commentators such as Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole, it's the WWE. Since I just own Sam right now in terms of a fact check, I don't know what really comes afterwards, but just figured to correct all of you. All right, that's it.
Well, here's the thing, Brandon. Nothing comes afterwards, but I do accept being owned. I appreciate the call. The truth is, I really stopped watching wrestling after it became the WWE, so all my memories are of it as the WWF or the WCW. And I assumed when I was watching that clip that it was from my childhood, but I guess I was wrong.
Hmm.
Thank you for the call, Brandon.
Really makes you think.
It does. Reminder, everyone listening to the show, if you are seeking advice, we debuted a new segment on the Sentinel Cast last week, Advice and Consent. It features our enlightened friend, Rachel Curzius. Follow her on Twitter at curious_curz. And if you want to leave a question, call the rant line, 202-684-6108, or email us at adviceandconsent@districtsentinel.com. Sponsors of today's show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jennifer Briney. Check it out at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor, levelnews.org. Listen to this episode and all other episodes of our nightly newscast by going to districtsentinel.com. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, or Stitcher by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Leave us a review, give us a rating, tell your friends to listen, and again, go to our Patreon. We like giving you this daily newscast for free 4 days a week. We can do that thanks to your contributions at patreon.com/districtsentinel. As little as a dollar goes a long way. We're back tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.